from KNX News 97.1 FM.
This is Countdown 2024.
Here are Charles Feldman and Margaret Guerrero.
Well, 63 days until Inauguration Day on today's Countdown 2024. Back in 2016, when Donald Trump first won the presidency and had a Republican House and Senate, conservatives were downright giddy, but couldn't really pull off the sweeping transformation of the federal government for which they were hoping. This time, both the president-elect and his MAGA faithful are determined to charge full steam ahead. We'll hear from the CEO of The Federalist about how they'll execute their plans, and we'll talk with a former CDC investigator who thinks Robert F. Kennedy Jr. might not be the disaster that some fear as head of Health and Human Services. But first this.
President-elect Trump, via a social media post, confirmed that his incoming administration is planning to use the U.S. military to help in his planned mass deportations of illegal immigrants. The head of the conservative lawfare group Judicial Watch wrote that Trump will declare a national emergency in order to tap military assets for deportations. And this lines up with what Trump advisor Stephen Miller has said in the past, that the military will be used to round up immigrants and hold them in massive detention centers as they're processed for deportation.
The president-elect has reportedly told his transition team that he will stand by his nomination of Fox News anchor Pete Hegseth as Secretary of Defense, even after allegations emerged that Hegseth sexually assaulted a woman at a conference in Monterey, California, back in 2017. Hegseth paid that woman an undisclosed amount to keep the story quiet, maintains that it was not an assault but a consensual sexual encounter, and he was never charged or arrested for the incident.
President Joe Biden said his goodbyes to fellow world leaders as he attended the G20 meetings in Brazil over the weekend. About his successor, Biden said that he had left Donald Trump and the country a strong foundation to build on if they choose to do so. That's a quote. The Biden administration also made what could be one of its final big foreign policy decisions after a massive Russian missile attack against Ukraine's civilian energy infrastructure. For the first time, President Biden has given permission to the Ukrainian military to use American-provided missiles and bombs on targets inside Russia. The move was cheered by European allies and criticized by Trump supporters.
The second Trump administration will come into the White House with much better focus and a much broader agenda for remaking the federal government in the MAGA image. The Federalist, a conservative magazine that makes no bones about aggressively supporting Donald Trump, has laid out a blueprint for the new administration. Sean Davis is co-founder and CEO of The Federalist, and he joins us now. Sean, thanks for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
Let me get one thing out of the way as quickly as we can, and then we'll move on. Because I want you to address some of our listeners, those who did not vote for Mr. Trump, and those who think that those who did voted for somebody who is a quasi-fascist, somebody who has an odd affinity for Hitler. How do you respond to those people? Can you address those listeners who fear those things?
Well, I would encourage those listeners to wake up and accept reality. I mean, that mere question, I'm going to be honest, is offensive. This idea that we're throwing around Hitler and fascist is completely absurd. It's ahistorical. It does a disservice to people who were actually victimized by Hitler and by actual fascists. And I hope we can actually get to a point in this country where we can just say, you know what, I disagree with that person. That person's an American. This business of throwing around Hitler and fascist and mean words like that whenever somebody we don't like gets in power or gets in charge is honestly, I think, quite obscene.
Okay.
Kind of circling back on that, I mean, there were people within Mr. Trump's own orbit during his first administration who have said similar things about him. I mean, would they not know if they were that close to him?
If somebody thinks that Donald Trump is Hitler, that person is insane. So, no, that tells me that somebody wasn't so much whistleblowing as axe grinding. And quite honestly, in 2024, with everything we know about what happened in the world, if you think he's Hitler, I think you should check yourself into a mental institution.
Okay. So now let's talk about the blueprint going forward, Sean. One of the things that Mr. Trump has already said on his own social media just within the past 24 hours, he answered in the affirmative for declaring an emergency, a national emergency on day one. This is regarding deportation and using whatever military means he thinks he can use. Is that, in your mind, the way that he's going to go from day one?
Well, I don't know exactly what he's going to do. What he said is he's going to secure the border, which is something we have to have done. It is an emergency what's happened with the border. It's been effectively overrun or dissolved. 5, 10, 15 million illegal immigrants coming here who are not allowed to be here. Violent crimes taking place. It is an emergency. And, you know, how specifically he plans to tackle that, whether it's going to be using the National Guard, which is something that I think is entirely defensible, I don't quite know. But the man ran on securing the border, something that was actually done 16 to 2020. So he ran on that. He got overwhelmingly elected on it. I think people would be disappointed if he didn't go in and do what he needed to do to secure the border, because that's what he's promised.
What do you think of Trump's picks so far for his second administration?
I think they signal that he has learned a lot from his first term as president, where he went in, he listened to people who were in and of and around Washington, D.C., and he saw how those recommendations really early on reflected what Washington wanted, not what Trump and the American voters who elected him wanted. And I think he understands now, having been through all the ridiculous hoaxes, the Russia collusion hoax, the Kavanaugh hoax, the first and second impeachments. I think he understands now that he needs to have people who have the exact same policy agenda that he has and who understand the rot that's at the core of a lot of these agencies like the FBI and DOJ. So I think what you see is a man who is entirely focused, a man on a mission, a man who knows who he can trust and who he cannot going forward into his second final term.
Sean, there are the appointments, and then there's Matt Gaetz, who's in a category all by himself. Do you think that Trump has thrown out that name simply as a way to kind of rattle the Senate, to try to bend the Senate to its own will, knowing that there's a good chance that Gaetz won't make it, and then he'll substitute somebody more palatable?
Well, first off, I think it's completely unfair to say he's in a category all to himself.
Well, he is.
Business,
I mean,
really
no, he's kind of a category by himself, isn't he?
Yeah. No, I don't think so. I mean, and there's a history in this country going back to Clarence Thomas and Anita Hill, where when a Republican gets nominated to something or gets in a place of power where people don't want him, whether it's him or Clarence or Brett Kavanaugh, people throw out accusations that nobody's ever been charged with, nobody's ever been arrested for, nobody's ever been convicted of. And then we're just supposed to stand around and act as if that's absolute fact. It all happened. We can't question it. I think that's absurd, and it does an extreme disservice to due process and the rule of law we have in this country. I think in Matt Gaetz, you have someone who understands very deeply the rot at the heart of DOJ, because DOJ was involved in an effort to actually frame and extort him and his family out of a lot of money due to the so-called testimony of a completely discredited prison informant. So I think Matt Gaetz is a very serious pick. He has good credentials. He knows exactly what he's doing. He is a very strong advocate of this America First agenda. And I know everyone else likes to sit around and pretend he's not going to get confirmed. I think he's got a good chance of getting confirmed.
We're talking with Sean Davis, co-founder, CEO of The Federalist.
You know, I saw a piece on your website, The Federalist, that I found really interesting. It started with this quote by Richard Nixon: always give your best, never get discouraged, never be petty. Always remember others may hate you, but those who hate you don't win unless you hate them, and then you destroy yourself. And the piece went on to say that the quote goes a real long way toward explaining why Democrats lost the election and why Trump and other Republicans should tread cautiously in the way they approach their opponents going forward. Donald Trump ran on this campaign of retribution. Do you actually see him and the Republicans treading cautiously?
Well, I'm going to question your premise there. Can you give me the quote where he said he was running for retribution?
He talked about retribution on the campaign trail constantly.
No, he didn't. He talked about making America great again, about fixing the border, about justice, about rule of law, He did not go out there and campaign on retribution and revenge. So if you have a quote where he specifically says that, I would love to hear it. But if not, I think we should actually stick to the facts.
So he never said that he thought that Joe Biden should be investigated and there was a crime family that the Bidens had and that if he were president, things would be different. He never said any of that.
Where you all made a very specific charge that he was running.
No, I'm asking you a question.
You're not answering my question.
No, I'm asking you a question, Sean.
How is investigating someone who's probably done crimes the same way that
who probably tried to put Trump in prison?
How is that retribution?
So you all made a claim.
You said that he ran
Sean,
on retribution.
Who probably done crimes? Who did crimes?
You made a specific claim that he ran on retribution. I'm asking you to give me the source of that claim, not paraphrases, not summaries. Just give me the source of the claim.
Source of the claim for what, Sean?
You specifically said he ran on retribution. I'm saying I don't believe that's true. Now, I'm open to hearing the argument, but you've not given me a quote from the president saying I'm running on retribution.
Okay, we'll have this discussion another time when we have more time.
Sean Davis, co-founder, CEO of The Federalist, thank you for your time. While many professional scientists, doctors, and researchers at the Department of Health and Human Services have threatened to quit if Robert F. Kennedy Jr. takes over the place, one former CDC investigator tells us Kennedy might not be so bad. We hear from him next.
It's Countdown 2024
on KNX News 97.1 FM. This is Countdown 2024
on KNX News 97.1 FM.
Welcome back. Along with Charles Feldman, I'm Margaret Carrero.
So in our last segment, we were talking to our friend at The Federalist, who challenged when you asked a question about whether Mr. Trump was running a campaign, at least partly on retribution. And he sort of said, well, where did he ever say that? Here's where he said it. First of many, many times, by the way, when he actually declared his candidacy in 2024, and that was in Waco, Texas, This is what Mr. Trump said, and I quote, "To those of you who have been wronged and betrayed, of which there are many people out there, I will be your retribution," period, end quote.
Yes. Yeah. So there you have it. Robert F. Kennedy Jr., President-elect Trump's pick to be the next Health and Human Services Secretary, has promised to end what he calls the FDA's war on public health and seeks to clear out entire departments at the FDA if his nomination is approved. Kennedy wants to remove fluoride from the national drinking water system. He wants to challenge the use of just about every major childhood vaccine, and he wants a mass firing of scientists at the National Institutes of Health.
In spite of all of this potential chaos, our next guest is willing to give Kennedy a chance. Dr. Jeffrey Klausner is an epidemiologist and professor of public health sciences at USC's Keck School of Medicine, previously worked as a CDC investigator and a public health officer for the city of San Francisco. Doctor, thanks for being with us.
Hi, good afternoon.
So I guess I can get where you're coming from in that Mr. Kennedy, who we have spoken to here as well, when he talks about, you know, issues with food and extra, you know, too much processed food and bureaucracy. And those are, I think, pretty good points that most reasonable people would agree on. But, and here's the but. His anti-vax stand, which is long-standing, you as a doctor, I can't imagine would agree to that. Do you?
Correct. No, I do not agree with removing vaccines or not allowing people to get vaccinated. And actually, if you sit down and talk to him, which I have, he understands the benefits of vaccines. He understands that vaccines have saved millions and millions of lives, that they have reduced childhood mortality, that they have extended the life expectancy of all Americans. What he's really concerned is about vaccine safety. So I've actually tried to advise him to change his rhetoric from anti-vax to pro-safety. And I think we would all agree that we need better, clearer information on how safe the vaccines are. We need active surveillance for new vaccines that the manufacturer should support for up to 10 years after a new vaccine has been approved to really monitor its safety. And when old vaccines are changed or updated, we need, you know, active surveillance as well. So it's really a safety issue, not an issue of do vaccines work.
Yeah, but doesn't it send the message, or at least the way the message is perceived by many people, that vaccines are intrinsically dangerous?
Right. I mean, I understand that. And that was a problem with Samoa, right? And he told people he had concerns about the measles vaccine in Samoa during an outbreak of measles. People did not get vaccinated. And, you know, dozens or 60, 80 people died of measles because he was misinforming them. So, you know, it's all about the message. And I think that as you led off, you know, we need to give him a chance, and we need to help him craft a message that resonates with people. I mean, even with all his, you know, rhetoric about vaccines, you know, more than 95% of all Americans over the age of 50 got the COVID vaccine. So Americans are smart enough to see through the rhetoric and the nonsense, and they know that, you know, if there's a life-saving vaccine there that's going to protect them, they will take it.
If his nomination is actually approved, what good do you see RFK Jr. bringing to that role?
Well, I think, you know, he'd be the first in a long time of an activist Secretary of Health. Traditionally, the Secretaries of Health have been, you know, more in the background. They've been administrators. They've been, you know, former governors, other politicians. I mean, he actually has a vision to address, you know, chronic diseases in America, to address the increase in diseases among children. I'm hopeful he's going to bring, you know, to the table community health advocates, outside experts, government experts, and, you know, we will work together to chart, you know, a trajectory for better health in the United States. As you mentioned, he's very concerned about food additives, about food dyes. The way things currently work is, you know, to add something into the food, you don't have to prove it's safe. You just have to prove later on it's not harmful. So we need to flip that. And before, you know, we approve things in our food supply, I think we should prove that they're safe.
We are speaking with Dr. Jeffrey Klausner, a epidemiologist and professor of public health sciences at USC's Keck School of Medicine.
So what will the country's sprawling science and public health agencies look like under Robert F. Kennedy Jr.? We will finish our discussion next.
This is Countdown 2024
on KNX News 97.1 FM.
Welcome back to the Monday edition of Countdown 2024. Along with Margaret Carrero, I'm Charles Feldman.
USC epidemiologist and former CDC investigator Dr. Jeffrey Klausner remains with us to finish off our preview of a possible future Health and Human Services Department under Robert F. Kennedy Jr.
Dr. Kennedy is suspicious of, among other things, the FDA, the CDC. You yourself, as we mentioned at the beginning of our interview here, were an investigator for the CDC. What should he be suspicious of about these agencies?
Well, I think he's, you know, rightfully concerned with the FDA and their policies on direct-to-consumer advertising, for example. So there's only two countries in the world that allow direct-to-consumer advertising, those beautiful commercials you see on major sports events and televisions for drugs you may never have heard of, and that's the United States and New Zealand. And there is a division of the FDA called the Drug and Marketing Division, which is responsible for that. So I think he's going to, you know, ask them to maybe pause and, you know, slow down approvals of direct-to-consumer marketing. He's also concerned about the revolving door, particularly at the legal counsel level for FDA. Typically, those positions are filled by attorneys from pharma, from the pharmaceutical industry. When I had my own meetings with FDA back in the 2000s and the legal counsel there, every single legal counsel member of the FDA had previous jobs at major pharmaceutical companies. They'd be at the FDA for 1 to 2 years and then cycle back to major pharma. He also has concerns, you know, about overlap with different agencies, that, you know, CDC does some similar work for prevention as, you know, the Substance Use Mental Health Services Agency does, and wants to really, you know, look at reducing overlap and trying to make a more efficient Health and Human Services.
Doctor, we're running out of time here. Some public health officials have raised concerns that federal health agencies will be weakened. Do you share those concerns?
That federal health services will be what?
Federal health agencies will be weakened with RFK Jr.
Weaken, I think it's to be determined. I mean, we'll have to see. I think some areas may be strengthened and some areas there may be, you know, more oversight and other areas that, you know, maybe have not been that effective. I think one of the big challenges is that the CDC has very limited authority, actually. So as a former CDC medical official, I would actually advocate for more authority that the CDC has at the state and the county level.
All right. That is Dr. Jeffrey Klossner, USC epidemiologist and former CDC investigator. Thank you.
Coming up on Tuesday's edition of Countdown 2024, Congress is about to face several complex constitutional challenges under the incoming Trump administration and will be asked to give up a lot of its power to the president-elect. How will it respond? We will talk with the Republican congressman who took over the seat of former Speaker of the House, Kevin McCarthy. If you miss this show, by the way, at 2:30, catch up on demand on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.